We're going to honor fathers. How many of y'all, did everybody get a gift when they come in? Just for the men. Father, you're a father. If you didn't get a gift, Janet's got one for you. Really, they're cool. No, really, it's got a level. It's got a measuring tape. It's got a pen. It's got a concealed 22 Magnum one-shot Derringer. It's so cool. They picked it up at the Janet picked it up when she was at the NRA convention. Seriously? No. Oh. I just want to honor you fathers just right quick because we're going to do something. We're going to... What's that? Oh, I thought he said something to me. Luke 1:17. I'm just going to read it. You don't have to go there. If you don't believe me, you can look it up later. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Who's he talking about? John the Baptist. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make a people prepared for the Lord. So when the hearts of the fathers turn towards the children and the hearts of the children turn towards the fathers, something supernatural happens, don't it? Doesn't it? That's what God wants. He wants the fathers' hearts to be connected to the children's hearts and the children's hearts to the fathers' hearts. Christian home, Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit to your own husbands. And by the way, again, submit means come under the protection of. It doesn't mean that at all. Because if your husband loves you like Jesus loved the church, it's no problem, is it? Praise the Lord. As is fitting to the Lord, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Luke 22:33, and when they came to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And again, in Luke 22:39, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter to temptation. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw away, and he knelt down and he prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him, and it went on, and he prayed so hard that he sweat drops of blood. And there's a medical condition where people can be under such duress and such stress that they literally, blood comes out of the pores of their skin. That's how distressed that Jesus was when he was thinking towards the cross. Jesus loves us, yes, but Jesus did not want to go to the cross. Jesus did not want to be stripped naked and beaten and humiliated before the whole world. Jesus did not want to do that. It said he despised the thought of the cross. He despised the shame, he said, but for the glory that was set before him, he endured the cross. And we always say, we were the glory. Well, no, really. The Father was the glory. Obedience to the Father was the glory that he gave. So he obeyed the Father even unto death. And so, children, that should teach us something about our earthly fathers. We should respect and honor our parents. If for no other reason, it says you are promised a long life if you do this. That's a good reason to honor your mother and father. But above all, it's a lot better. How many of y'all know that mom and dad screwed up a time or two? You just told the truth. You shoplifted, right? Now, none of y'all ever done anything wrong, I'm sure. You could listen to mom and dad when they say, don't do that. Don't take that first drink of alcohol. Don't take that first hit off a joint. Don't smoke that first cigarette. Why? Because they know that it leads to bondage. They know it leads to death. Oh, I've got to experience some things for yourself. Well, go roll around naked in a pack of poison ivy. And you'll find out for yourself if you're allergic, I suppose. Maybe a cactus would be more fitting. Everybody's allergic to that. But honor your father. You know what? You may not have had a good father. You may not have even known your father. But honor the Heavenly Father, you know. And even honor your parents that weren't there. Because there's never any excuse for that. But that generational curse, praise God, has been broken off of you. You don't have to be like that. But love them. And if you can call them today, if you can honor them in any way, please do that. And you will be blessed for it, okay? I think it was last Sunday that I said, and usually we just go on and do this, but I told y'all, do y'all remember I said I want 100% agreement on this? If you weren't here, you can participate. But I believe, I know the Holy Spirit has showed me to bless Dick Rubin, the guy that was probably accredited with breathing life or revival into the Brownsville revival. And he's been here two or three times. He's had a stroke. He needs a miracle. But above all, he's made his living his whole life from going here to here to here to here and preaching. And I've not heard from him. He's not said he's in trouble. I've not heard anything except from the Holy Spirit. But I believe the Lord would say to this church, we need to support him $100 a month. It's a small amount of money, but I think the encouragement would be $10,000 a month. And make it for a year and see what happens from there. But everybody close their eyes, because I don't, you know, really. And the reason I do this is I don't want anybody, if you've got any objections, I don't want you to think, what if somebody looks at me and thinks I'm a jerk? No. Is there anybody, put your hand down unless you are against this. Yeah. Is there anyone that would object to the Faith Harvest supporting and blessing Dick Rubin $100 a month for a year? Is there anybody that feels like that would not be God? Okay, we honor the man of God then. Can I tell you a little story? Y'all probably already told you this, but we started supporting another ministry. Karen Dunham, wasn't it, the last one? We decided we were going to support Karen Dunham's ministry with $100 a month. And by the end of that week, some people that used to go to this church, Donna and I got a letter in the mail, and it said, we still love you guys, and we still support what God's doing, and God has showed us to support y'all with $100 a month, even though we don't go there. It was the same week that we decided. So you cannot outgive God. So praise the Lord. And I'm not believing for money to come in on this deal. I'm believing for the power of revival to sweep in. Here's what I'm believing. Not that we can buy anything from God, and please don't hear me wrong, but God wants to see his saints honored, you know, and we don't honor them enough sometimes, most of the time. Y'all okay? I wanted to tell you something else, too. When we were in the barn, which, by the way, the anniversary of the barn burning is coming up June 26th, which will be next Sunday. When we were in the barn and we went to the Brownsville revival and we were blessed, I mean, God moved in and incredible things were happening all the time. the Holy Spirit, and I might get the numbers wrong, but I'm pretty sure that he showed us to give the Brownsville Revival $2,500, and I'm pretty sure he told us to bless Steve Hill Ministries with $2,500. That little bitty handful of people in the barn sent $5,000 to that great move of God that was going on. We never got noticed. It wasn't about that, but we sowed into revival. Now, when we sow into good soil, what should we expect? We should reap what we sow into, right? So, God, I thank you. Let's stand up and just put our hands up. God, I thank you that we sowed into this great move of God. And we're not looking for it. Listen, guys, we're not looking for another Brownsville. We're looking for something much greater. We're looking for that healing revival. We're looking for dead to be raised, limbs to be grown, bones and feet replaced, God. Lord, whatever honors you. And God, we want these altars filled with souls, God. Lord, we thank you for a move of God that'll last. Listen, that'll last till Jesus returns, God. We cry out and we count that $5,000 seeds towards 5,000 souls. How about that? How about 50,000 souls, God? Move mightily, Lord Jesus. We honor you, God. We honor revival. We honor the spirit of revival, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I just sent a little short text this morning to Jerry Hill and said, I thank you so much for pouring your life into revival. It was just a very short little, and I got this long reply saying, thank you so much. You made my day. So God, even little people can bless big people in the kingdom of God, you know? God's no respecter of persons. God wants to use every one of y'all. God wants to get a hold of, young, sit down. God wants to get a hold of everyone here. He wants to get you in the fire so hot and so deep that you're going to go after God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when you do, you'll be like Chuck. You'll see miracles at work. You'll see miracles at work. Come on, tell us real quick.
It was Thursday, and it was super hot. Anyway, we had a surge bin go down on top of the mezzanine. And the mezzanine's like 30 foot up in the air, 40 foot. Anyway, I climbed up on top of this surge bin. And I was sweating. I was like 4 foot from the ceiling. And I had a guy there from Thomas Plastics, and he was standing on the ladder outside there. And I said, man, it's hot. And he sarcastically said, come on, man of God, ask for a wind. And I looked, and I thought, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. And I didn't, you know, close my eyes and get this elaborate prayer going. I just said, Lord, I need some breeze. And it wasn't 20 seconds. My hair began to blow, and I looked at him, and his eyes were as big as quarters. And he climbed down off the ladder, and he told Chuck Malloy, he said, you need to climb up there. And Chuck Malloy climbed up there, and there was literally a breeze. I mean, a breeze. And Chuck climbed back down, and he told Todd, he said, I told you he was a man of God. But it affected that Todd, and it. And I opened up a door. I told Pastor yesterday that opened up a door for me, and I got my foot in there. But I got done with the job, and I climbed back down. And I'm saying 3.5 hours. This breeze is just, and there's nothing there. And I climbed down the ladder, and Todd said, "I need to check something out." And he climbed back up there, and he said, "It's gone. There's no breeze. It's gone." You know, everybody says, well, you know, that was back in Jesus' days. You know, the blind got healed. You know, the sick got healed. All this, he did miracles then. If you look in the book of John, I think it's chapter 16, it says this and greater things, greater things that you, and when he says you, that's we, that's us, we will do so that the Father may be glorified through the Son. Miracles are still happening, people.
Yeah.
You just got to ask. But after all this was going on, I told Pastor yesterday, I said, you know, I feel like the man who, you know, and I cannot think of his name still today, but he said, Father, forgive my unbelief. Because I seen it happening, but I just couldn't believe it. But, yeah, it happened.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hey, man, and I'll tell you one thing, it'll stop a move of God quicker than anything. The murmuring, complaining spirit. A negative spirit will kill the move of God. And I apologize to y'all this morning. I kind of dumped on you talking about social services. You know what? Let me tell you something. You know I've been dealing with Medicaid for my aunt since January. And I'm not going to go into that or I'll get to murmuring and complaining. But anyway, Jesus or the Lord, the word of the Lord says he will take what Satan meant for evil and he'll turn it around and use it for your glory, right? For his glory. And so Friday, I'm like, I'd had everything I could take. So I went to this place called Elder Care, which is lawyers that'll do it for you. I'm thinking, I don't care if this comes out of my own pocket, God. I got better things to do. I can't say I had a real good attitude about it, but I got there early because I didn't know where it was. It was somewhere out around Dutchman's Lane. So I had about an hour to kill. I thought, I'm going to treat myself to Old Charlie's. So I went over there. I thought, I don't know why I went to Old Charlie's. There was all kinds of restaurants. Well, I do know why. I went there, and on the way in, I'm like, Holy Spirit, give me a word of knowledge for this, whoever waits on me. And so I'm like, soon, just as I walk through those doors, it's like I heard it. I heard the Holy Spirit say, there's a broken relationship that I want to restore. There's a broken relationship. I'm like, okay. So I sat down, and the waitress's name was Donna. I thought, oh, that's amazing. And so we got to talking, and she bring the check back. I always figure that's a good time to tell them about Jesus because they want that tip. So, you know, yeah, I'll take Jesus. No, I'm just teasing you. But anyway, she came back, and I said, the Lord showed me, and you don't really want to say that because you're always, well, what if? It's like, no, go on and say, I believe the Lord showed me that you have a broken relationship and God said he wants to heal you today. And she said, oh, I've got several broken relationships. And she went on and it was like, well, maybe, you know, it didn't really seem like, wasn't all that. Anyway, when she came back, I started talking to her about Jesus, and she said, this broken relationship you're talking about is my daughter. I'm raising 3 grandchildren. My daughter is on, and she just broke and started weeping right there in Old Charlie's, and we got to pray, and God moved, and when I left, there was peace on this girl. There was nothing I did except obey what he said to do, just like you. That was a big, hey, God, give us some wind, you know? God's not offended by challenges. He's really not. Test me, try me, and see if I won't. Finish that verse for me. Pour out for you. Open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you can't even contain. So, have you got it? Do what? No. I want everybody to be in here. And then after we watch this little clip, everybody's going to come up for prayer and God's going to move and just give you a new fresh breeze of life.
You know, and it was easy. I told Kobe, I said, it was like I felt like I was at home. You know, this was their turf, you know, and I felt like, man, the Holy Ghost was there. And I said, this is easy. 2 of the young people prayed with us and asked Jesus to come in their life. And it was easy. Glory to God.
What's your name, son? Where are you from?
My name is Coleridge Tillman. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham, Alabama. Coleridge Tillman?
Yes, sir.
What's God done for you?
Well, see, I wasn't always like a bad person. I was just like, I did some bad things. I was a good guy, did some bad things. And I had just got suspended from school. And I was like out of school for a week, and I was just, you know, I had to go to work with my dad. I was out of school, you know. My mom said, we're going to Florida tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. So.
Turn around here a little bit, everybody can see.
So she says, you know, we're going to Florida tomorrow. So I was like, okay, you know, going to Florida tomorrow. So we get in the car, and, you know, we're on our way to Florida, and she goes, we're on our way to Revival. And I'm like, okay, revival, that sounds good, okay. Get to revival, and I walk in the door, and I feel something heavy in my chest, and I'm like, you know what, okay, maybe it's just because it's a little cooler here than it was outside, nothing big. I go upstairs, I have a seat. You know, I'm having a seat, and I see this guy, and he's walking by, and he's jerking real bad, and I look down the aisle at Doug, and I go, Doug, what's wrong with the guy? I didn't know his name. Then I go, what's wrong with the guy? Is he retarded? And he goes, no, that's the power of God. And I'm like, aha!
I got a feeling Birmingham will never be the same, man. Let me ask this question. You wasn't like this before you came to church last night, was
you? No, this is like last month. This is the good part of this.
Oh, this has been going on a month. I thought you looked like you were seasoned in this thing.
This happened in May. And I'm sitting at the end of the thing, and I was like, you know, I thought I had pretty much figured God out. I was like, God moves like this, he does this, he does this. Come down here and God does none of that. He does something altogether different. So I was sitting there and I'm like, that's not gonna happen to me. And he goes, why not? I said, because I'm much too cool for that. And I happened to have my legs crossed at the time. And when I set my leg down, it didn't move anymore. It just stayed there. And he was like, come on, let's go downstairs. I was like, okay. So I couldn't move my leg, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, why can I not move my leg? And my sister comes up, and my sister's a real scared person. She goes, oh my God, he's broke his leg. So she runs to go get my mom. My mom's like, what's wrong with you? Are you hurting? I'm like, no, I just can't move my leg. So my mom had to help me hop down the stairs. And all of a sudden, I just start, you know, the power of God just came over me, and I just start going crazy. I just couldn't stop. Well, to make a long story short, I came back to Birmingham, and like I said, I had just got suspended from school, and I came back to school, and everybody was looking at me, and I was wondering what they were looking at, because I had thought, you know, what are you looking at, huh? And everybody just kept looking at me. I'm like, what are you looking at? And I have friends that are like gang members, you know? I mean, because I don't live in a bad part of town, but I know some people, you know what I'm saying? And they were like,
okay.
You know, so I'm up there, and I'm like, you know, I'm trying to tell them what God had done for me, and they're like, that's got to be fake. And I'm like, okay, do this. If you think it's fake, if you think that God doesn't move, if you don't believe that there's a God, you go home tonight. I'll pray with you at my house. You pray at yours, and you tell God to do what he did for me for you. Just that simple. I challenge people because I like to be challenged. They like to be challenged. He went home. He prayed. He came back the next day. He said, man, I have never experienced anything like that in my life.
So he said he never experienced nothing like that. Did he get saved? That's the key. Did he get saved?
Well, see, he had already been baptized like years early. He came to my church earlier and got baptized. And then, like, you could just, I mean, he didn't come out and say, well, I'm saved now, but you can just tell by the way he walks and talks. He used to curse every sentence. I mean, it was like, well, wow. Every time he said something, he was cursing. No more bad words. I mean, he's the most pleasant person to talk to. He's left the gang alone. I mean, God is just really moving in his life. And I just thought I might want to come up here and show you.
You know what? God's got his hand on you, man. He's going to use you. He's going to use you. You know something else? Birmingham needs somebody like you, man. God bless you. Give him a hand. What's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Sandy Fields, and I'm a pastor's wife, and I'm from.
I know the feeling.
Honey, where are we from?
I tell you, friend, the Holy Spirit's on this platform. Let him move out there. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Woo! Lift your hands, worship the Lord. My, he's up here. Lord wants to move out there in the audience also. Let him begin to move in the audience. Woo! My. Glory! My. When she was standing there and jerked, I felt the Spirit of God hit that woman. I felt the Spirit of the Lord hit that woman. He just like that in her face. Where's her husband? Where are y'all from anyway? Come on up here. I'm sorry?
Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I just want to tell everybody, revival's broken loose in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. My wife and I pastor a small, it's growing, Liberty Word Church. It's a non-denominational church. And this is just kind of we were down here for the, this started last Sunday. This is forgetting what she's going to say stuff.
This started last Sunday with her? How are you doing?
I'm getting there.
Woo!
Anyway,
I wish y'all could feel what's up here on this platform. I just wish you could feel it. Woo! Man, let's move over this way. It's all right, we got you. What's going on in your church? What's going on in your church?
Something kind of like this. Jesus.
Has God mightily touched your wife?
Yeah, she does this every once in a while. That's just kind of the way God falls on her and she just kind of goes. I think we all ought to be like that, you know? Man, don't fight it. Just let God breathe on you.
What'd you say?
Just let God breathe on you. He wants to breathe the breath of life spiritually into everybody. He's trying to resurrect the church. He's trying to bring it out of a state of sleep into a state of being awake to Him, not to religion, not to a lot of programs, but to a God that's alive, that wants to breathe on His people, to make us a witness to this world that's sick in sin and on its way to hell. We've programmed them to death. Now we got to revive them with the spirit of life. But we got to be alive first.
Worship team, start moving up on the platform.
I don't know what God's going to do in our
church.
Yeah. You know how stupid that makes you feel to forget what you're talking about? But God's just really in the last, about the last year has been preparing us. Our hearts for souls, our hearts for missions, our hearts for... There's a young man from down in the southern part of the state. He's right over there. Man, I'm telling you what, God's going to build an army out of them guys. That's where our heart's at, is for those that everybody else has forgot. They need God, you know?
Come on over. Wow. Help her come up here. Man, I'm telling you, it's strong up here, folks, seriously. It's strong.
I wanna. I wanna tell you something that, you know, we pastor a church in Cedar Rapids. And being a pastor's wife, it's like, you know, I felt just raped by the church. And not by the world, but by the church. And the church.
Say that again.
I felt like a rape victim, you know. And when I would look out at the church, it was like, you were my enemy. And till I came to the pastor's conference, and you stood up here, and I was back there, and you just took your hand, and you said, I'm going to speak a blessing over the pastors and their wives. And you just moved your hand like that, and you said, I break the curse. And you guys, I felt like I've been an egg, you know? And it's like, what good is an egg if it's not cracked open? It can't be scrambled. You can't fry it. You can't poach the sucker. You can't do nothing with it.
Looks like your words has come back pretty good there.
But when he broke that curse, I felt like the egg was cracked. God's healing the church.
because he doesn't want ministers to minister out of hurt anymore. He wants them to minister fresh, fresh word. And God's doing that in the church. And last night, you know, this is our second time we came down, but the first time we came down, I sat here with my mouth hanging open, you know, and I had to keep closing my mouth because it was like, man, I have never, ever seen anything like this before. You know, people doing what you're doing. And I said to my friend, you know, we have Dick and Renee Van Kirkforty, their assistant pastors at our church. Could they come?
Yeah, she was up here one time. Come on up. Come on up.
Renee, come on.
Come on.
And last night, you know, I was standing, and when that little Chastity, or what's her name? Charity, and...
Chastity. That's Stevie, and I'm Johnny.
And anyway, when she started singing, you know, what's that song? When she sang, you know, come running, come running, come running to the mercy seat. And, you know, my whole life, my whole Christian walk, all I wanted to do was to intercede for y'all. You know, just be that intercessor that God wants for the hurting, for the church, you know. And being hurt myself, it's like I couldn't do that to the full capacity. But last night when Chastity sang, you know, come running to the mercy.
Turn that volume down and let's do some worship. You can leave that screen playing. We're going to pray. How many of y'all want more from Jesus, man? We need a touch. We need a touch. Holy Spirit, we need a touch. If you want more, just come up here and start worshiping him, and we'll listen to the Holy Spirit. If this doesn't make you hungry, this is the real deal. This was nothing. I know to you, some of y'all, it might seem strange, but whew. Strange is good sometimes, eh? Yeah, Lord. Surabareyo sananananeya. We need a fresh touch, Lord. Hold your hands up and worship him and praise him. He is good, he is good, he is good. No matter what's going on in your life, God can heal it.